The Oregon State Legislature opens next week with an unusual power-sharing arrangement. Since the House is evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, they have elected two speakers of the House. Chris Lehman of the Northwest News Network reports that many in Oregon are optimistic this will lead to more collaborative politics.
Last November wasn't just good for Republicans in the U.S. House. The GOP wrestled control from the Democrats in 20 state legislative chambers. But in Oregon, Republicans couldn't make it over the hump. When all the results were tallied, the Oregon House came up even. 30 Democrats, 30 Republicans. That left the top Democrat and the top Republican with plenty of logistical details to work out, starting with what to call themselves.
Republican speaker, Democratic speaker, we've talked co-speaker. It is difficult. There's no script written for it.
That's Republican Bruce Hanna. He and his Democratic counterpart, Arne Roblin, are officially co-speakers, but have agreed to simply call themselves speaker. The two also divvied up premium office space and worked out a plan on who gets to hold the gavel. They'll trade off every other day, says Democrat Roblin.
We will make it so that at the end of the day, people who look at this session will say, wow, they pretty much did that right down the middle.
Answers to thornier questions such as how bills get assigned to committee or make it to the floor for a vote were negotiated during a month of closed-door meetings. One compromise? Each legislative committee gets co-chairs, one from each party. During a recent organizational meeting of the Human Services Committee, Democratic co-chair Carolyn Tomei tried to reassure members that she and her Republican counterpart, Vic Gilliam, will get along just fine.
We will have a positive experience. And if you don't have a positive experience, talk to him about it.
And so it begins.
And so it begins.
That sense of humor will be necessary for a state facing a number of problems, such as how to fend off a threatened federal takeover of its mental health system. Tied legislative chambers aren't as rare as you might think. In fact, they're so common that the nonpartisan National Conference of State Legislatures has someone who keeps track of them. Brenda Erickson says there's been at least one tied state chamber following every general election since 1984.
We always tell the legislators that they should view it as a challenge and not as a dilemma.
Erickson says lawmakers have developed several models to deal with the tie. Some, like the Oregon House, try to divide control as evenly as possible. Others give one party the reins for the first half of the session and then switch at the midpoint. And there's always this method.
In Wyoming, way back in 1974, they actually did a coin toss to break the tie.
We have a great opportunity here to do one of two things.
Oregon Republican Sal Esquivel sits on four committees and has leadership roles in three of them.
We can either get nothing done or we can get a lot done. Every vote that comes out of this committee and comes out of this House will be bipartisan.
That bipartisan spirit will be tested as lawmakers deal with a $3.5 billion budget shortfall. And since the last legislature raised taxes, few are predicting an easy way out of the mess this time. The Oregon House isn't the only tied legislative chamber this year. The Alaska Senate is knotted up 10-10. And if Oregon Republicans are disappointed they didn't take one more seat to turn the tables on Democrats, they can console themselves by looking at the Hawaii Senate. There, Democrats outnumber Republicans 24-1. For NPR News, I'm Chris Lehman in Salem, Oregon.